It's Valentine's Day, and we decided to talk about the five love languages with you. Experts have studied this, and they say there are five love languages that we all communicate with each other, or we try to, that each of us has an emotional love tank that is built inside of us. And if someone is speaking your love language, you fill up their tank. And when it's halfway full, you like that person. When it's three quarters of the way full, you're in love with that person. And so if someone speaks your love language, they pour love into you. You understand them and you fall in love with them. All of us have, we all speak one, or we all have a dominant love language that we understand. And most husbands and wives are actually different. What is their dominant love language? So we thought we would go through, we got five preachers here this morning, so take it easy, we won't be 5 hours. We're timing, each one of us only gets 4 to 5 minutes, and we're going to share the five love languages with you. So here's what you need to do. You need to first of all figure out what is your dominant love language, that if your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, or your mom or dad or whatever, it speaks to you, fills your love tank. And then I also want you to think about what your spouse's or your significant other's or your son or daughter's love language is as we go over the five love languages. Okay, you with me? Love language number one, Pastor Jeff.
They said five minutes. It takes me that long to introduce myself. I use the book, The Five Love Languages, in premarital counseling, and so I have couples read it, and if you've been with me, you know that I have you read it, and I read it, obviously, because I want to know what was in there, and I took the survey, and I discovered that my primary love language is receiving gifts, and you know, I got thinking about that, and when I come across somebody who that's not their love language, I'm like, what's the matter with them? I mean, who doesn't like to get presents, right? Giving presents is so much a part of our culture. We give presents for birthdays. We give presents for Christmas. We give presents for Valentine's Day. Now, gift-giving, you have to understand, is different from materialism. Materialism is where the things that you get are so very important to you that it actually becomes the God of your life. That kind of, it takes precedent over other spiritual things in your life. But gift-giving, gifts themselves are a symbol of love. They in themselves are not love. Think about a bride and a groom. They give each other wedding bands, right? The wedding band itself is a piece of metal that's been formed to fit around their finger. But the real importance of them is not the ring itself, but it's what stands behind that ring. It's all the pledge to do these certain things that the bride makes to the groom and the groom makes to the bride. I think a lot of you know that I spent a lot of years in the jewelry business before I was a full-time pastor. And I'm going to reveal something to you today that will come as a shock to some of you ladies especially, but all the guys are going to be like, yeah, that's right. Listen, when it comes time for a guy to buy a girl an engagement ring, there's not a guy here that says, oh, I want to shell out $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to buy a diamond because I just love buying a diamond ring so much. Okay, that's the hard, cold reality. If there was a cheaper way to do it, if like they come up and said, hey, you know, you could just give her like a piece of tinfoil or something, we'd be like, okay, I like it. Listen. You see, in the girls, I can always hear clucking from the women, okay? No, it's not the ring that he wants, you see. But he wants to give that to her, and he wants her to wrap her arms around him and say, oh, you're the most special guy in the world. He wants to kiss on the cheek. He wants to be able to go home to her parents and say, Mom, look, isn't he just a dreamboat? He did all this. Look what he did. Look what he got me. That's what he wants, because that ring is a symbol of his love. But there are things beyond just those kind of symbols. And giving the gift of ourself is a powerful gift, to where we take the time to be with somebody. We take the time to give ourselves. We can let all kinds of things stand between us in the time that we should be spending with others. And you know, there's times in my life I had to learn that lesson the hard way. I'm convinced that God's love language is giving gifts. The Bible tells us he gave Adam and Eve a paradise of which to live in. He gave Abraham the gift of a ram when he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. He gave the Moses and the Jews a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to guide them. He gave Solomon wisdom. He gave Job patience. He gave Daniel courage. And God gives us Jesus. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And that was God giving us the gift of his presence. And now because he's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with him. And with that gift, we get not just fellowship, but we get, as Philippians tells us, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We get the seal of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us through our lives. And so flowers will fade. Your diamonds, they're going to go to your kids someday. But the gift of God, that lovely gift that God gave to us, speaking that specific love language, will last forever. It is eternal. God is eternal. God's gift, God's love language, is giving gifts.
Well, as you can see, I drew the short straw. I don't know why they chose this one for me. I don't know. It's amazing, though, when you stop and think about touch, how much of our world evolves around, and our communication skills even evolve around touching. Quick test here. If you're sitting beside your spouse or a friend even, do me a favor. Guys, stick out your arm like this. Okay? Ladies, in a loving way, show them some way on that arm you love them. How would you touch them? All right, now on the other side, do one more thing. If you're angry at him, how would you touch him? And don't draw blood. Okay? Pastor Joe asked us if we had any slides, and I was going to put a picture up there of some lady hitting a guy over the head with a frying pan or some guy trying to strangle his wife, but I didn't want to encourage that, so I didn't. But we each of us have a way of demonstrating our love. And we're going to see that through our five love languages. Jeff's was receiving gifts. Mine, maybe some of you already figured out, mine's the gift of touch. I like to shake hands. I like to put my arm around somebody. I love people to do that to me. And I know in our society today that's kind of taboo. But you know what? God has demonstrated that we need to touch. Throughout Scripture, yesterday I looked at Scriptures that said about touching, even in the Old Testament, in Genesis. When Jacob was wrestling with the angel, he touched him and put his hip out of socket. In Jeremiah and Isaiah, the Lord touched them on the lips and cleansed them. In Matthew chapter 8, we read where Jesus touched the leper and he was healed. In Mark chapter 10, the parents were bringing the children to Jesus and the disciples said, "No, no, no, take the kids away." And Jesus rebuked them and says, "No, bring the children to me. Let me hold them and bless them." You know, studies have been done to show that we thrive on being touched. Guys, you know, when I talk about physical touch and that, and I know some of the ladies will blush and the guys, their first impression is the intimacy a part of it. And that is so true. But there's more to it than that. By just grabbing their hand and holding on to it as you're walking across the parking lot. Or you come home and you give them your spouse a kiss. Those are all things that says, oh, wait a minute. We need that affirmation. You know, studies have been done that shows when a premature baby is born and they put them in that little incubator housing to keep them warm, that ones that are not touched have a slower development rate than ones where the parent comes in and even just once an hour, they feel the warmth of the hand on their back or on their body. We respond to that. Different cultures are different ways of saying hello. Our society, it's reaching out and shaking a hand. You know, even in sports, we see all the high fives and the guys will kind of smack the other guys. They say that when you see teams that do that, they have a better unity, better bond. And guys, in your marriage, and ladies, I don't know what your love language is, but when you show that affection by a hug, when you're having a bad day and your spouse just wraps her arms around you, it means so much. I know when I'm really hurting or depressed or down, I say, Lord, just wrap your arms around me. Why? Because we want to feel loved. So if your love language is touch, and spouses, this is the hardest part, figuring out, especially for us guys, what your spouse's love language is. Pay attention.
Well, good morning and happy Valentine's Day. I know I was reading this week where in Iran, if you celebrate Valentine's Day, it's considered a crime and that you can be arrested and sent to jail. And I was thinking about when I was in second grade or grade school and we would make shoe boxes and we'd exchange Valentines. And that was always a lot of fun. And can you imagine the police coming in and arresting all these little grade school kids and teacher, how dare they? For Valentine's Day. I'd like to begin with John chapter 13, beginning with verse 3. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, and drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. That is an act of service. Maybe the greatest act of service was Jesus dying on the cross for you and me. No greater love can one person show another than to give up their life. Before I define what acts of service are, I first want to tell a couple stories. I went to seminary in Chicago, and there was a pastor there named Bill Hybels. And like a lot of pastors, he began his work with youth ministry. So as he ministered to these youth, a number of them were troubled, and they got in a lot of trouble. And as he talked to them, these kids would say, you know, my parents don't care. My parents, they don't love me. And that really confused Bill Hybels, because he sat down with these parents, and it was very clear to him that these kids were very much loved by their parents. So somewhere there was this disconnect, and he came to the point where he thought, perhaps they just speak a different love language. And I know in my life, just recently, Heather and I, we went through this past week, and Heather took the test, and our results show that affirming words are her love language. Well, we had always talked about this and thought it was time, you know, and it had changed. Maybe it has something to do with having a baby or who knows what. Acts of service are things like unclogging a sink, walking the dog, cooking a meal, painting a bedroom, removing the white spots from the mirror, trimming the shrubs, shoveling the driveway, changing the cat litter box, walking the dog, dusting the blinds. You get the idea, right? In conclusion, I would like to share a verse from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So I want to encourage you today, with the Lord's help, to engage as a soldier of love, especially you men, to be warriors of love. Learn your spouse's love language. Learn your children's love language. Learn your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors' love language. I would even encourage you to learn your enemy's love language. Because if you apply that knowledge, you will be like Jesus. For God is love. Thank you.
Quality time. That's what I get to talk about today. Of the five love languages, quality time really sticks out to me in the sense that it applies to most, if not all, relationships out there, not just specifically a husband and wife. And one relationship that kept coming to my mind as I was thinking over this and preparing this was our relationship with God. I mean, often we can find ourselves getting so focused on trying to love other people, which is good, that we forget about loving God, showing Him our love for Him. There's a difference between spending quality time with God and then just spending time with God. Quality time with Him is actually reading through the Word, not just bits and pieces of it here and there. Or praying and listening for Him, not just telling Him what you want in life. Quality time with people is a little bit different than that. If your love language is quality time, or you know someone who you think their love language is quality time, then there's two main things you can do so that they can feel and receive love from you. The first is focusing on them. So like if you're with your spouse or on a date or with friends or siblings or whatever, say you're going out bowling. Or you're on a walk, but maybe not now because it's really cold outside. I don't like the cold. Your focus wouldn't be on what you're doing. The focus would be on who you're with. You follow? That's right, amen. Whoever said that. So focusing on them. The second one, actually wait, no, I had an example of this. I have a little brother. He's 7 now. Yeah, he's 7 now, I should know this. We have such a close, tight, good relationship with each other because we're always doing things together. It doesn't matter if we're playing a card game or watching a movie or walking the dog, whatever it is. We enjoy it because we're doing it together. And that's what we focus on. And the second of the two of quality time is listening to a person. So if you're in an argument with somebody, that doesn't mean listening so you can respond and make your own point against whatever they said. It's listening to understand them, to understand where they're coming from, to understand how they feel about something. There's this guy I've been friends with for about 8 years now, and whenever he has a really bad day, or he has a problem going on in his life, or something really good happens to him, just whatever, he wants to tell me about it. And all he wants me to do is listen to him. He doesn't want my advice. He doesn't want me to comment on it. He doesn't want me to tell him how to fix whatever. He just wants me to be there and to listen to what he has to say. That's what really makes him feel loved. That's what makes him feel good inside, is having that. And the beauty of quality time is that this applies to all relationships, not just a husband and wife, like I said, but a parent and a child, or siblings, or friends. and God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love."
I have the fifth and last one. So what are the first four? Gift giving, touch, acts of service, quality time, and the fifth love language is words of affirmation. And I've got a couple verses here. Just the power of words to express love. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's power in your words and words of affirmation. For people that's their love language, that's what fills up their tank. Words are more powerful than actions to them. They're not interested in the things you do or whatever. They want to hear from you. I love you. You're wonderful. And words of affirmation, by the way, can be either verbal or written. This is what fills their love tank. You know, if your spouse wants to hear every day from you that you love them, then probably their love language is words of affirmation. I know there's some of you guys like, "Hey, look, I told you I loved you when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let you know a couple years later." And maybe your spouse, that's not their love language, so you get away with it. But the person who has this as their love language, they want to hear, "I love you, thank you, please, you're terrific, you're great, you're amazing, you're," you know, they love that verbal affirmation. And there's a couple ways you can do it. So one way is to verbally tell them. And then another way that is hard to see is by giving cards. So verbal affirmations, words of affirmation, can be shared in a card. And if you go to the store, to Target, and you buy a card, and then you just sign it, "Love, Gary," Kay's love language is verbal affirmation. He just lost, okay? Because it's what you add to the card in your own, you know, language and love that is their love language. You know someone's love language is verbal affirmation if they save all the cards that you give them. We do. We save them all. We have boxes of cards. Cards are good because they can go over when you write them a love note, a love letter. They can go over it many times. You can do a card. You can do post-it notes. You can hide them in the closet, in the socks, in their suitcase, on their way to work and stuff like that. You can, believe it or not, email. There is something good about email. Or Facebook. You can talk about how wonderful your spouse is on Facebook and by email. And even texting, believe it or not. Okay, so here's this book. 200 text messages your ex would love to receive. Get your ex back by sending text messages. This is an actual book on how to win if you break up with your girlfriend, your wife. Men, this is how to win your spouse back after they leave. But I was thinking to myself, maybe we should be texting them ahead of time. You know, we can avoid buying this book. Men, you won't. Women, you don't have to buy this book if maybe you start texting every day. "Hey, I love you. You're terrific. I can't even work because I'm thinking about you nonstop." You know, that mushy kind of stuff. So verbal affirmation. Compliments come under this. Complimenting your spouse. A compliment is like sunshine. It's like water on a dry, thirsty soul. It fills their emotional tank to hear compliments. One of the best ways to compliment your significant other, your children, or whatever, is in the presence of others. So pretend this is a young couple that they're married, and pretend that is the parents of the woman there. So according to the book, if you tell the parents of your wife or your spouse, and you go, oh, your daughter is just the most amazing woman in the world. I married the best, you know, whether she's listening or it will get back to her. This gives you all kinds of bonus gallons to fill in your spouse's love tank. So praising and complimenting in front of others speaks volumes to that person. Now, supposedly, and my wife and I have been saying, we're mixed on this. Supposedly there's a difference, and this is a generality, on people receiving compliments. Women like to be complimented for who they are. So, for instance, men, if you want to compliment your wife, you want to say, you're just amazing because you're so caring. I love how you're so kind. You're just fabulous in your personality. And so they're more interested in the compliments of who they are. Where men, generality, like to be complimented for what they've done. You're an amazing worker. Thank you for fixing that broken chair. Thank you for, you know, taking care of the house or watching the kids for me and stuff like that. So you have to decide. My wife and I have been like, we kind of like both areas. Well, those are the five love languages. So the question is, what is your dominant love language? And what is your spouse's love language? By the way, studies show that you usually marry someone that has a different love language than yourself. Okay? So what's your spouse's love language? What's your kids' love languages? You should know. We have six kids, and we know for a fact each of our kids have different love languages. They don't all have the same love language. You probably should practice all five of them, right? In some sense, hopefully you practice all five. Although one or two of them are going to be the most dominant. And I think they can change, which is the most dominant. So when my wife and I were in our fiery 20-year-olds, maybe our love language was different than it is now. It changes as you go through life, and you have to kind of figure out what it is. So on your way home, when you're with your kids or a significant other or your spouse, play a game and see if you can guess the love language of the person you're riding with, okay? So, you know, say, hey, I think it's this, and your spouse will either say, yes, boy, you know me well, or they're going, no, that's not it, try again, okay? But try to guess, but then spouses, if you're dating, whatever, tell what is the love language that will fill your emotional tank. Because studies show that we are not very good at mind reading. In fact, what fills our own tank, so if my love language is gift giving, I'm biased. That's the only language I can speak. Sometimes it's hard for me to see one of the other love languages. So you need to eventually share with each other. Just don't go, you should know what my love language is. We've been married 20 years. If you don't know it by now, we cannot read. Share with your spouse what it is. And one thing is for sure, if you give up too soon, you'll never know what you'll be missing. Keep going and never quit. So over time, they've in the book, like maybe you'll tell your spouse what your love language is, your dominant love language is, and 6 months you forget and you revert back to your own love language. Just remind your loved one, oh, hey, you're speaking Spanish again. Remember, I'm French, okay? Just remind your spouse. Don't give up. Remind them what your love language is so that they can learn to speak your language. Father, I pray you would bless all the relationships in our church, the relationships between a father and a mother and their children, our relationship with our grandchildren, that we would learn the love languages of our grandchildren. I pray, Lord, that we would have amazing marriages of husbands and wives that would be such a powerful example to a lost and dying world out there that can't even really comprehend what love is. Because, Lord, love comes from you. If we know God, then we have the Holy Spirit that pours love into our hearts and love for others. And if we don't know God, we always struggle with love. Father, may our marriages be an amazing testimony to people that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. And he makes a difference in our marriage, not just for the first 5 years, but if we've been married 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that we're more in love than when we even first started. We give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.